This is Kevin Burke from the School of Kinesiology and Recreation at Illinois State University. Thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry. This episode is entitled Andy's Rich Girlfriend. It aired on October the 8th, 1962. It was written by Jim Fritzl and Everett Greenbaum, directed by Bob Sweeney. This episode opens up with Barney and Thelma Lou and Andy and Peggy taking a little walk, and then they decide they're going to go out by the lake, and we see a little bit of joust between Andy and Barney about who's going to drive the squad car. Neither one wants to drive because they want to sit in the back seat with their girlfriend to have a little bit of fun. Well, it looks like Barney wins this contest, and then they all rush into the car. Next thing you know, Barney is sitting in the front seat right beside Andy. Andy looks at Barney with a little grin on his face and says, "Is this what you had in mind?" So they get out of the car and they decide to drive on up to the lake. And here at the lake, you see Barney trying to get Thelma Lou to stay in the back seat again to have some fun. But Thelma Lou's trying to go out because she wants to hear Andy talk to the hawk. And one of the things I love about the Andy Griffith Show is that they use some physical comedy, and I don't think it was overdone in the Andy Griffith Show, but one of the aspects of physical comedy with the character Barney Fife is his hair. There's so many ways that they seem to be able to do Barney's hair, and Barney's hair could just mess up a little bit, and it's hilarious to me. And Barney getting out of the car, his hair's all messed up. It just tickles me every time I see that. Well, they Andy and Peggy and Thelma Lou decide they're going to go wading a little bit into the lake, and Andy's trying to get Barney to go along with it, and Barney's like, "I don't want to take my shoes off in front of the girls," and Andy's making fun of him, so they all have got brothers, and so you see Andy skipping rocks. Now, I grew up in North Carolina, and anytime we got to a lake and had some rocks, that is something that we really did. So again, another example of Andy, who grew up in North Carolina, knowing things that people did in North Carolina. And they're all playing around the lake, and then all of a sudden they think they see crawfish. Barney's not paying attention. He's lagged back a few feet, and as they're running out of the lake, Barney just now gets in the lake, and Andy screams at him, "Look out for the crawfish," and Barney comes running out of the lake. So again, a good funny opening scene with a couple little things that Barney does, and of course Barney provided so much comedy for the Andy Griffith Show. The next scene we see Andy walking Peggy up her front sidewalk, and they're on the front porch, and this is one of the rare times we saw Andy actually kiss one of the persons he's dating on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, I've read several accounts that in real life, Andy Griffith was extremely shy about kissing another woman. And so, again, this was the 1960s, and so it was something that really he didn't really want to do. Now, on this particular kiss, it's a slight little peck on the lips. It didn't last very long, but there'll be other episodes where you can see Andy, rather than kissing, might just hug and those kinds of things. But there are times that Andy kisses, but he was just really shy about doing that, and I find that interesting. Well, the next thing we see is the next day, and Andy goes to Peggy's house, and as he's walking up to her house, he sees that there's a brand new car sitting out in front of her house. And so when he gets her to the door and hands her a newspaper, he asks her where the new car came from, and she said her dad sent it to her. Well, the conversation sort of goes into about how her dad makes a lot of money, and Andy didn't know that. And so again, it was a real interesting little conversation. What happens in this scene is we realize a couple of things: that Peggy hasn't been in town that long, and that that she's rich, and it's something we didn't realize until this point in the episode, and that plays into what happens a little bit later on. Well, Andy goes back, the next scene's at the courthouse, and he's talking with Barney. He's telling her about the car, and then Barney spends a good deal of time here in this scene trying to convince Andy that he needs to stay away from Peg, that Rich and Andy don't mix. And here's one of the times where Barney says, "You got to nip it in the bud," a very famous saying still utilized today. And one of his other sayings that I love to hear him say, Andy's playing along with Barney. He's listening to Barney, but he's grinning the whole time. He's just sort of letting Barney say what he wants to say. And then Andy says something he knows Barney wants to hear, and Barney goes, "Exactilioso." I just love that word, exactilioso. And later on in this episode, Andy will use it back at Barney. So again, the playful nature between Andy and Barney is always so much fun on this show. But again, Barney's whole idea is that Andy is just Joe Ordinary. He's just a toy for joy for a while, toy to enjoy for a while for Peggy. And so Andy walks away not talking about it. Another interesting thing that happens about this part in the episode is that Andy mentions that he's tired of taking Peggy to the Weenie Burger in Mayberry. Now, you may or may not know this, but as a teenager in real life, Andy Griffith worked at the real Weenie Burger in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Again, Mount Airy, North Carolina is where they have the annual Mayberry Days that I attend and will be at next year. But Andy Griffith really worked at Weenie Burger in Mount Airy. He washed dishes and made milkshakes. And this restaurant was owned by his first cousin, Evan Moore. So again, Andy Griffith weaving in some of his real-life North Carolina background into the Andy Griffith Show, which I believe gives it some of the realism. The Weenie Burger. I wonder if that kind of story would work today. Well, as they get on the date, and Andy and Peggy are there, they drove 55 miles to this restaurant. And again, remember, Barney's tried to tell Andy this isn't going to work. Well, we start to see where what Barney is talking about starting to come to fruition here. Andy orders beer while Peggy orders a real fancy drink, and then Peggy orders snails for herself and eventually Andy. Then they have a chance to dance at this restaurant, and Andy does a certain type of dance, but not that kind of dance. Also notice in this part of the episode, the waiter gives Andy some looks like I can't believe you're ordering these type things or saying these things. All of that was the setup to make it look like Andy was really a rube or somebody that didn't belong in this fancy restaurant. So when they come back, the next scene, we see Andy and Barney again talking in the courthouse, and now Andy is actually starting to believe what Barney told him in the first place. And there's not many episodes where Andy believes what Barney says, but he really did in this particular episode. And here we start to see something rare. You know, we do see Andy Griffith from time to time stretch the truth or and things like this, but here he flat out asks Barney to cover for him, basically to lie for him when he sees Peg coming up the road. We see another scene where Aunt B's on the phone talking to Peg, and she lies that Andy's not around. So again, you know, the assumption is Andy put her up to it. And so finally, Andy's been avoiding her, and he starts to leave the courthouse, and Peggy comes in, and Andy tries to sort of dance around the issue that he's avoiding her, but she figures it out, and she walks off mad. Barney comes running out of the back room saying, "Way to go, Andy, way to drop her," and Andy tells Barney to shut up. You don't see that in many of the episodes either, but, you know, that was, again, Andy telling Barney to shut up is a rare thing. Well, after this episode, we see that we're back out to the lake. Now, this is the same lake that they started the episode, or it was near the beginning of this particular episode. And you got to realize, why did they do that? Well, this is a fun time in the earlier part of this episode where they all four were together. So you got Andy back out there skipping rocks, probably reminiscing about good time he had with Peggy, and he hoping it'll work out. And lo and behold, Peggy is out at the lake too. And what I love about this is, in this particular episode, Peggy starts lighting into Andy and telling him that he's a snob. Now, what's interesting about this, and again, this shows the quality of the writing of the show, is that Andy really felt that Peggy was a snob and was treating her like the snob, when in actuality, Andy was the one acting like a snob. He wasn't paying attention to Peg, wasn't returning telephone calls. And so, again, another good storyline of how Andy turned out to be the kind of person that he thought he was trying to avoid. Excellent writing by the Andy Griffith Show writers Jim Fritzl and Everett Greenbaum. Now, the tag on the end of this episode is hilarious. Barney is now telling Andy, you know, don't hold yourself down to just one girl. And he says, let me just show you how it's done. And he picks up the phone and he's calling Juanita at the diner. And lo and behold, he's talking about asking her out tonight. And Andy looks out the window and says, Barney, Demolu's coming. And Barney just freaks out, drops the phone, and starts to lose it because he's about to get caught two-timing. And in come the door comes Aunt B. And Andy says something to the nature of it. Well, Aunt B, you look just like Thelma Lou from across the street. And Barney's so mad and walks off. So again, the fun nature between Andy and Barney comes out in this particular episode, as usually does. And again, another good storyline of how to treat other people. Now, the trivia question for this episode. Again, if you watch the episode, you can find the answer to this. But according to this episode, how long had Peggy lived in Mayberry at the time of this episode? Again, the question is, how long had Peggy lived in Mayberry at the time of this episode? If you think you know the answer, you can email me at burke@mayberry, that's burke@mayberry.com, with your answer, and I'll respond and let you know if you're right or wrong. Or you certainly can go to burkeonmayberry.com, and there beside the name of this particular episode, Andy's Rich Girlfriend, in parentheses, you will see the answer to the trivia question of how long had Peggy lived in Mayberry at the time of this episode. If you have any questions or comments about Burke on Mayberry, don't hesitate to contact me. I really appreciate everyone listening to Burke on Mayberry. I hope you're enjoying listening as much as I'm enjoying doing these podcasts. And as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours. And again, thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry.